Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text you just heard in our lesson. Dear Christian friends, for the Christians in Asia Minor, this letter of John came as needed comfort. For the church was being threatened by heresy, and it was being tried by temptation. It was a church that had had great difficulties. The gospel was at stake. The cross of Christ, the shed blood of the Son of God, which for the apostolic witness was the crown and culmination of the work of Christ, this cross was ignored. It was relegated to the background. It was this small church in Asia Minor that found itself intimidated by false teachers and by the society in which it lived. And so it truly felt as if it were taking on the whole world by confessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, such an attitude was very typical of people within the church throughout its history. For the first 300 years of Christianity, the threat of persecution hung over the church of Jesus Christ. Great demands were always placed upon the newly baptized as they came into the church. For not only did they have to denounce Satan and the darkness, they also had to denounce the world in which they lived. And that meant separating themselves from the society they lived in, everything they knew. And it meant joining a community of persecuted Christians who confessed a crucified and risen Christ. They soon found out, the minute they became catechumens, that such a confession took great risk. Because by merely confessing the gospel of Jesus Christ, they too felt as if they were taking on the whole world. When our sanitized, so-called Christian world, that sense of risk, that sense of suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ is not as apparent. And yet, do we not live in a world that is threatened by heresy? Are we not tried by temptation? Do we not live in a world that is hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ? And therefore, should we not listen very carefully to the admonition of St. Paul to the newly baptized in his community when he tells them very clearly that they are separating themselves from the world when they are baptized? For Paul says to them, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And since we, through our baptism, have put on Christ, we too, like everyone else who has become a Christian, we too take on the whole world. Yet we also realize, as Christians always have, that this burden is easy to bear. For first of all, our Lord has taken on all our enemies, and he has overcome for us. Secondly, he has given each and every one of us, through the power of holy baptism, making us his children, the power to overcome. And so it is these two things that we shall consider this morning. John found it very necessary to counter the false teachers in his church, to state very clearly the essence of what Christ was about, to state clearly that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And that is why he says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water in the blood, this being a reference to his baptism and to his death. But there were opponents of the faithful in this community who thought differently. They claimed that Jesus was merely a man, a superior man, but merely a man, that he was the son of both Mary and Joseph. They had claimed that at Jesus' baptism, the heavenly Christ came down as a dove upon Jesus and had equipped Jesus to do the work of God, to reveal God through his miracles and his teaching and his life. And yet they also claimed that that heavenly Christ had left Jesus in his passion, and it was only Jesus, the man, who suffered and died. Now, it should not surprise us that the followers of Jesus Christ have, through the centuries, had a difficult time understanding that in Jesus, God has taken flesh. And it was equally difficult for them, according to their conventional wisdom, to understand that Jesus should die the way in which he did. But if we ponder this for a moment, we should realize one thing very carefully, that even though there were some who were slow in coming to grips with all of this, the New Testament and the church that followed it never softened the sharp edges of the gospel, never denied it or tried to explain it away, but it always took on the whole world. that defied reason, and it placed the double scandal of a divine incarnation and a sacrificial death at the very core of Christian faith and mission. And so that is why John states emphatically to his people, not with water only, but with water in the blood. Such doctrinal encouragement for these beleaguered Christians was very comforting, for they were living in a midst of tribulation and hostility, and they were debilitated. And yet they could see that in this double scandal, the very essence of Christ's work could be found. For Christ overcomes all his enemies, and he triumphs by taking them on. That is essentially what Jesus tells us in John's Gospel when he says, I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And these Christians understood that despite tribulation, there would be victory. For Christ had taken on the world's sins. He had trampled death with his death. And he had risen up out of that death to create a new creation, a new life, a new way, a new chapter in cosmic history. So those faithful Christians in Asia Minor knew that they could take on the whole world because they had taken on Christ in their baptism. And they understood that being incorporated into Christ in baptism said something very profound about them. It said that in their baptism, they had been spliced into a faith by being plunged into his death, into his scandal, into his love. And they understood that in the Eucharist, they were constantly being renewed, constantly being renewed in this new status as a new creature, because there they were nourished in this faith by receiving his body broken and his blood poured out for the life of the world. That is why, with all the hostility around them, they could face it boldly and with confidence and with great courage. John encourages them in our lesson today when he says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And who is it that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In view of all this, it is very difficult to understand how it is that Christians can be blind to what they have become in Christ. It is very difficult to understand that far from being the best support system for the status quo of the world, Christians are the ones who can turn the world upside down, who can take the world on and overcome it with the gospel. Now, such a challenge plunges the baptized into realms of pain, into ambiguity and anxiety, into tragic distress. For wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the love of Jesus Christ reigns in a hostile environment, there is always tribulation. Satan and the world will win victory. But as John tells the seven churches of Asia Minor, those victories are only provisional. Because the Christian has the definitive victory because he has been baptized into the one who has overcome all things with the shedding of his blood. And so those seven churches could hear from John, who were in the midst of tremendous suffering and persecution, in the midst of tremendous hostility, they could hear from John the promises of he who overcomes. And thus, because you and I, like them, have access to the death of the lover of mankind, you and I can now love as he has loved us. We can overcome, not with power and might, but by keeping his commandment, love him, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that returns us to the theme of this week, to a love that is not soft and warm, but a love that is bold and courageous, a love that is forgiving, a love that is able to take on the world, confront all the obstacles of the gospel, a love that is able to proclaim that gospel in any situation, under any tribulation, because it is a love that sees clearly that the great lover has overcome the world and all its might. As John says to those seven churches of Asia Minor, yes, the world will wage war upon the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer, because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Those who are with him are called, and they are chosen, and they are faithful.